Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our Sunday live talk. We've been having some good rain up here in Mudgee for a bit, so it's going to be looking really good for springtime. So hope everyone's doing well, and I feel for all you guys in Victoria at the moment with all your current lockdowns and restrictions. We don't know which way it's going to go up here, so we're just crossing our fingers that the sort of cases go down a little bit and we can sort of keep going as usual. But if things tighten up, we'll say be it. We've got some little bit done here. We nearly finished the little, this is sort of our sort of kitchen camping area for the arena and stuff like that. So yeah, it's been really good. But anyway, I'll get into some questions. Viv, you're first up on the questions today. So thank you. I'm glad my explanation for getting a horse's focus on the ground is clear enough that you can understand. But now, could you please explain how to get connection when we are riding, and something real or imaginary captures their attention? Thanks. That's good, Viv. It's interesting. I'm forever trying to think of different ways of explaining things just so people can understand, you know, just so the penny can drop. And I might at a clinic say the same thing three different ways, and yeah, just trying to get it through is really important. But getting connection, what I might do is getting connection on the saddle, I might give some examples of things that have happened either with me on a horse or at clinics, and just explain what we're sort of looking for. So when we're getting a connection under saddle, what we're looking at is the horse's thoughts aren't elsewhere. Okay, so first of all, you have to have the horse's mind in the vicinity of the area that you are. Okay, so the reason horses connect well on the ground and not under saddle is because they can associate with us on the ground quite easily. We can stand beside them, in front of them, you know, depending where they like us, and it's like we're with them on the ground, just like another horse. So, I find there's a lot of horses we can get really connected really easily on the ground, but then we sit on their back and all of a sudden they're distant. So one of my first examples was as a recent clinic in the Sunshine Coast with a lady, and I was really proud of her commitment to a particular lesson. So we did a bit of groundwork in the morning and tried to redirect her a few different ways with the groundwork, and then in the afternoon she came in under saddle and got on a horse. But it was very clear to me that whatever she did, no matter if it was a back up or a U-turn or something, whatever she was doing in that arena, that horse's mind was outside the arena, back in the yards where it came from, and it would not soften and connect with her. So everything she was doing to try and interrupt the horse's thought under saddle was, it almost was like futile. So I said, how about we just get off and can you just stand at the mounting block or just see if your horse can stand and connect there? And what I noticed is when she was standing back at the stirrup area with the saddle, the horse was just completely disconnected. So I'm like, okay, well, it looks to me like when you're in that area, the horse is not going to connect with you, but you could probably stand in front of it and stand with it, and then its thoughts will come back to you. It'll see you there. It'll be just like, okay, I can handle it here. But when you're standing at the saddle or back at that vicinity, back behind the shoulder, then the horse found it really hard to connect. So just a lesson I did with that particular ladies, I said, well, how about we just, you sit up on the rail and sit on the rail and just get your horse to stand up there like it's tied up to the rail, but you're sitting up on the top of the fence. So she was, I guess her hips would, and the bottom would have been sitting at above the saddle level, because the top rail was a 1.8 meter fence, so the top of the saddle, you know, she was above the horse. So first we just got her to sit there and just let the horse settle as if it's tied up and its mind's not there. So every time its mind would leave, she'd just draw its thoughts back and just get it to sort of stand a little. And it took a while. It took a fair bit of time for it to realise it was there. Then we slowly just started that, moving that horse up the fence a little bit. So eventually the aim was that she could sit beside the pommel of the saddle and that horse could just connect and just rest there with its mind in that one place, not over there. So every time it sort of disappeared, she'd distract it and draw it back and say, hey, we're not going anywhere, buddy. You're grounded right here. And what I say to people when they're sitting on a horse, you're not sitting on a horse, you're standing on the ground. Okay, so when you want to ground a horse and stop them and get them to rest their mind, you imagine that your feet are still touching the ground, so you're grounded. So the reason she sat on the rail, it was going to make her grounded to something fixed. And the horse would start to realise that, well, I'm fixed here. Now, she was up there to help manage it, so it wasn't just like tying it to a sort of a patient's pole somewhere and hoping that it's going to be okay. It was like she was up there to kind of redirect his thoughts back and loosen up. And so first it started to settle a bit, and then it had to learn to settle with her beside it. So the reason I'm giving you this real life example is because it's just one way of many of trying to show a horse what we're asking for. So all we want the horse to do is realize that it's centered and grounded with us in a particular place, and it can feel good there. It can let down there and rest a little there if it wants to, all those things. So to get that connection there under saddle, it's really important that we get that. So what we did is we just, and well, actually I had to go on and do another lesson because I couldn't just wait with her there for the whole time, but I gave her strict instruction, and she was pretty good at knowing what to do and how to feel on the horse in the right ways to get it to connect. But I went off and did other lessons, and I think she sat there, well, she sat there till dark. It was definitely, the lights came on in the arena and it was dark, and she might have sat up on that rail for 2 hours. I mean, I think her bottom was numb. She couldn't feel her bottom anymore. But that horse finally just went, oh, I can connect here. Okay. And it just stood there beside her, kind of restful, mind there, feeling good with her there. And she just sat there grounded with that rail. And then we said, righto, well, that was the end of the day. Basically, all the other lessons had finished by then. And I said, righto, you've got that connection sitting up there around that saddle area, and the horse knows it's grounded with you there. Okay, cool. You've made your horse feel good in this arena with you, grounded there. Now she left, and next day she came in with the saddle on. What happened the next day though was kind of like the penny dropped for her, and it was really nice for me to see that she followed it through so well that afternoon. So she got on that horse the next day. She stood with it at the wither, at the saddle, and the horse connected and centered there. She stepped up on it, sat on it. The horse connected and stayed with its mind there. She walked it a step. It just walked a step, and she went loose rein walk, loose rein trot, and she could just rest in it, rest a seat a little and slow a seat a little, and the horse would just come back and come back to walk, come back to a stop, everything, without having to give it any ridden lessons that next day. Because she showed that horse that it can connect with her up above her in that vicinity, and she was grounded up there, and she had to stick with that to show the horse what was required. Once it understood that that was what it could do, then it went, I'm happy to do that. And the next day it was kind of like magic to watch it ride, because it just rode really nice and soft with her without doing any circles or turns or come back to me. You know, there was none of that. It just, the horse knew that it can rest its mind back with her and feel good in there with her. So the moral to that story is that's just one thing, but like, it's like the lessons, if anyone watches the bit of Riding Marvel's Anxiety. So Viv, that's another good thing, you know, watching that video is just, as soon as I see that anxiety cause the horse's mind to disappear or go somewhere else, so the mind turns into, instead of being in the vicinity of the horse in that area, just calm and connected in that area, what happens is the mind separates, and as soon as I see that separation, obviously you feel it because the anxiety of the horse gets a little worse, because the further the mind gets from the feet, the more anxiety the horse can often carry. So when I feel that, I just get the horse back to me, get its thoughts back to me somehow, even if I have to stand back and say, hey, reset, let's step in again. And as soon as I see the horse's thoughts leave, I just try and redirect them back to me. And then when I sit on the horse, before I even take a step, I ground myself to the ground. I say, I'm centered here, are you with me? And I wait there. And I might sort of, if that horse goes to walk off a step, I might draw it back and say, back up to me here. And I'll loose the reins there and I'll ground myself and say, I'm tied to the ground here. I'm not going anywhere. And before I even take a first step on the horse, I want to know that horse is feeling grounded with me. And what I look for is, are the ears kind of just calm and floaty, kind of with me, on me? If it does look somewhere, is it just a soft look and the horse is generally in its mind here? When I put my hand on it, does it recognize it? Does it, or is it just like out there somewhere? Okay, or is it shut down, you know? So basically I just get that horse to ground with me and I assess it as I'm getting on, I assess it once I've got on, and then I assess it once I put energy into the horse. So that's why I teach people the slow walk, one step at a time. If I can't take a step away from the mounting block or wherever I've mounted that horse, and that horse can't take a soft step with me, then so what you do is you ask for go, and if that horse goes step, 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 like it's walking off, then the horse has left me. So I say, you've left me, come back. And once those horses recognise that you want them to kind of emotionally stay with you, then they will leave with you. And then you'll allow them to cast their thoughts out to think across some obstacles or through a gate or something like that. Once they can leave softly with you, you've got to teach them to leave softly with you. And think forward softly, not to a destination, but in a direction. So once a horse carries a soft forward thought, that's the soft forward thought that the horse is walking softly with and carrying nicely. It's not a destination thought. A destination thought, the horse feels like it's constantly getting stronger towards that destination, and the ears are pointed out there and it's going somewhere. So a soft forward thought is just a horse carrying forward with you, but thinking forward and also concentrating on you, but thinking forward. So a secondary focus, primary focus is always sort of, you know, working between the two of thinking forward and thinking about what you're doing and things like that. So, and that's very important. So basically just recognize when a horse has left you, and then you'll really, you know, later on, like this horse at the clinic that I'm talking about, it basically went walk, trot, canter and coped with it, and then came back and she could just stop anywhere and loose the reins, and that horse would just go woof and just stop and just go, yep, I'm here. Whereas the day before you could not get that horse, but it took her 2 hours sitting on a rail just getting that horse just to come up to a rail and say, I can stand with you, can I? Oh, good, I can stand with you. So you might have to just set it up so you can be in that position of on the saddle, whether on the mounting block, on a rail, things like that. That's why I do a lot of one reining and long reining on horses like that are disconnected, because that one reining and just getting to walk by and walk with them at the saddle, it's a really good area to get those horses to think about us and connect with us. And so next time you're walking down the drive or something like that with your horse, walk beside it and see if you can sort of just time with it and walk with it in a rhythm like the horse is walking. And after a while, you rhythm with them and they start to rhythm with you, and then you start to slow down and they slow down with you. Just all those things like that will help a horse get with you when you're in that saddle vicinity of where you're going to ride it, and just recognizing when they disconnect. The other things you can do to get a connection, you know, so basically when you're riding and your horse does disconnect, you know, you can either take up on two reins, bring them back until their mind thinks backwards and they're backing up, or you can do a turn, like a U-turn, to say, hey, your thoughts are too strong over there. And like on Marvel, when I rode him, I had a long time off in between rides, so I did a bit of a anxiety lesson, and then I got him back in just the other day because I'd been away and working a lot, and I said, well, I'm just going to start to work on reins for 3 days in the arena before I ride you out, and I did a video of him riding out. But he rode out nice, but what I worked on in the arena was getting better turns so he could think into the turn and reset his mind. So in a safe area, you work on, if I take a right rein, I say right direct rein, can you think right strong and reset your mind into the right? And then same with the left, reset your mind and think left. And once you've got that kind of working, when your horse disappears a little bit or separates, then you can go, hey, left turn, reset, thank you. You know, I used to do kind of cooling circles and all sorts of different things, but I kind of don't do them anymore because I don't want to circle a horse for too long that's out of balance. I really believe it's so important to have a horse balanced in the reins that I'd rather teach them how to turn properly and then use that U-turn where they actually engage their hindquarter to lift up in the wither and think strongly to the right or the left to reset their mind and say, hey, you're just getting away. Maybe we'll just step over here and think over here. And that's another way to get them connected. But if the rein is not distracting them and their thoughts is just trapping their mind, then that's not going to help them come back and connect with you. So you've got to work on maybe in a safe environment teaching them what backing up till they're thinking backwards means, what turning till they're thinking right or thinking left means, and work on those things. Thanks for the question, Viv. It's very good though, because it's a harder one to sort of to understand. So just go through here. Natasha, I have a question. My horse injured the front of his left hind leg at the hock. I think he's gotten his legs stuck in the fence, so any limitations on those... He becomes really frightened. When there's any restrictions, I think, what you mean, on his legs, he becomes very frightened. I've watched your videos and have been practicing, and he's doing great. I can rub and brush his legs, but as soon as he sees the hoof pick, it's interesting, and creams, he becomes very anxious and spins around. I stay with him till he stops, then I reward him and move away. Forget the farrier getting near those back legs. Do I keep doing what I'm doing, or is there something else I can do that I can help build his confidence? After he had surgery to have his leg closed, he needed several sedations to have the dressing changed. Okay, so, yeah, hind legs, front legs. Some horses are really frightened in the front legs, some in the hind. So, first of all, sort of if you're going back to the start and thinking about the problems in there, which I think if you've been watching the videos you've been working on, I've got to keep playing with the phone because I didn't set it on long-term screen holding, so I've got to keep touching it every now and again to keep the screen up. So, with a horse, like, no matter what side you're on, when you're walking back to that foot, constantly watch the horse. So when a horse starts to get anxious, sometimes down their side near their back feet, what you'll see is you'll see them start to sort of maybe start to think away, like they're looking, they're either got all their focus on you and tightening up and really nervous, or they'll get to a point that they kind of tap out a little bit and they'll kind of almost look like they're thinking about where they could leave if they had an opportunity. So basically, watch your horse. You want to be able to get back to your horse's back feet. You want to be able to get back to your horse's back feet with your horse thinking about you, okay, and comfortable. And so I would suggest going on the video, the one where I'm working the racehorse, that one when I went to a stud to help with the racehorse, of getting that horse to soften on that side and just... So that sort of stuff's really good and really important, and that's like the important stuff that you do before you handle a horse's feet. So with the, because your horse has got stuck in something and it's got really frightened, there is a point that we have to build your horse's confidence, but there will be a point that you will use a small amount of flooding. Okay, so you know, you've kind of, if you guys are familiar with flooding, if you're not, I'll explain it anyway, but... So commonly flooding was used to desensitize horses. You kind of flood them until they think fleeing and moving is futile, I'll just kind of stand. The problem with that is you took away their right to think, and because they actually started to sort of go, well, I'll just stop, then you were tapping into their eye shut down mode. So once, you know, once if a zebra runs and it escapes, well, beauty. But if the zebra doesn't escape, it's going to get eaten alive, isn't it? So basically, a lion floods a zebra until it kind of goes into a catatonic state and gets eaten alive, I suppose. And a horse, I think that's what happens with over-flooding horses. So when I say I say it needs a certain amount of flooding, you have to be very careful. You might restrict or flood an area till you get a slight change of thought and then retreat out of there, okay? So it's needed a little bit in areas so horses don't get, you know, their leg ripped open when they get caught in a bit of a loop of wire out in the paddock or something like that, or so they can actually, you know, our stallion, he got caught in the electric fence the other day, and it was funny because it wasn't a lot that caught him, but he sort of sat down on the ground and just he just laid there, and I'm like, well, it didn't take much for him to, and like, he hasn't been ridden for years, he just sits in the paddock with all the horses all the time, and it didn't take much to actually make him go, oh, well, I give up. And I went over and, you know, unhitched him out of there. But that was good because he could have fought, and even electric tape can kind of cause a fair rub on a horse. Yeah, Rhonda, I just saw your question there. Can a horse still be connected when they're really excited? Yes, but excited could mean anxious, okay? So yeah, I'd say they're not connected when they're really anxious, but you can just distract them in a quite a strong enough way. Not strong, I mean clear enough way, I guess, to reset their mind, and then that anxiety comes down, and then they start to become connected. But it will have a certain drop in anxiety when they connect. So yeah, back to the feet. So basically, a certain amount of flooding might be required. So when I say that, I say it very carefully, because, you know, I don't want people just going and flooding their horses' feet and getting them. But so what I would start to do is with your horse, I'd actually teach it to walk around me softly, and from the hip to the hock, I would handle it while it's moving. So I would, because what I don't like horses to do is freeze and then move. And I think we just uploaded this month a lesson with Marvel at the mounting block, and it's teaching them to move and soften. So imagine that you're going to handle your horse's hip while you're asking them to move, which means you ask them to move and you rub them until they can move and be rubbed on over the hip without stepping away, without feeling, because some horses, they get kind of nervous and they go, geez, and then they kind of do the best they can to stand, and all of a sudden they go, no, I've got to move, and they sort of, and they move around. Whereas, so what I would do is I would get your horse moving softly around me, and I'd start to handle its back leg. So you've got to be fairly careful the way you do it. But once those feet are free and moving, you'll feel fairly safe just to go down and rub to the hock. And even when you get better at it and you get to the hock, you can actually reach down a little further and just rub them while they're moving. Because chances are your horse is going to be sort of stepping away a little. And just both sides, rub your horse while it's moving. And then you just allow it to find a stop, and or stop it if you have to, just stop it, and then rub it while it's stopping, while it's stopped, and then rub it while it's moving, rub it while it's stopped, and keep working on that on both sides until you see like a soft movement in your horse. So the other thing you can do is, if you can't reach quite far enough, is you can just get the flag, a rag on a stick, anything like that, like just maybe a rag, because it's not as like plasticky, and you can still feel your horse a bit with it, and you know, just put a rag on a stick, just some old kids' pajamas, I don't really care, whatever, tea towel, doesn't matter. And just go move your horse, get it walking in hand soft, and rub its back legs while it's moving until it can cope with that movement, and rubbing on the leg while it's moving without sort of stepping away sideways and things like that. If it steps away sideways, you can sort of stay with it a little bit while it's stepping away. Maybe retreat from the most scary area a little bit. So say, for instance, you were down near the fetlock, down near the back foot, and the horse got a little too anxious. Well, you could retreat back up to the hock area and keep a bit of feel, and then work your way back down again. But you keep that tea towel or whatever you're using on the stick just rubbing on your horse's back leg while it's moving forwards around you, and when it starts to think forward softly and walk forward and not crab its hind quarter away a little bit, then you might just retreat with the stick a little bit and just reward it. So you're kind of going to gently flood it, but you're not asking it just to stand and just keep flooding it until it kind of just stops fleeing and stands. You're actually asking it to think and move forward. So you're constantly saying, hey, keep moving forward. Keep thinking, move, think to the feel. And when you feel that horse think to the feel in your hand nice, and it's leading forward around you, and it starts to soften a little and feel a little better, or look like it's starting to kind of come down and go, oh yeah, I'm not fleeing away, so it means the hind legs won't be crossing away just to get away from it, then you might sort of, you know, soften and take the stick away a little bit, and just keep doing that on both sides until you can stand and rub that horse down. And while you're rubbing it down with that flag or rag or whatever, you can ask it to walk and then stop and walk and stop. And it just walks forward and stops and walks forward and stops whilst you're rubbing it. So you don't see any rigid kind of like that with its back feet or its body when it's doing the walk forward and soft. So you've taught it to move softly while it's getting rubbed and stop softly while it's getting rubbed, and put a lot of emphasis on that. And soon enough, you'll find that you'll be able to get into those back feet. And when the horse does move, it might only move softly instead of moving like from a frozen position into a sort of an escape kind of frame of mind. So you're working through the escape frame of mind. And then once you've kind of done that, then another thing you can work on is down, back down with your hand again, go down with your hand. And once you've got that established a little bit, that you can control your horse at the head nice and soft, you can guide them nice and soft, then what I would do is go back with the hand, maybe whatever the horse is scared of. But I would actually get what the horse is scared of. So what was it here? When you go and, well, hoof pick. Okay, I'd actually start leading him past the hoof pick here, and I'd just go in and out, touch him on the shoulder with the hoof pick, and just start to work that hoof pick over his whole body like it was the rag on the stick at the hip, you know, and then just go in and do the same sort of thing back at his back feet again and just see how he goes. But you remember, it's walking and standing. You don't want to just say, oh, I'm just going to keep moving him, because Mark said handle him while he's moving. You want to do both, and you're looking for the movement being soft. Soft stand into soft movement into soft stand. And just keep working on that until he gets a lot more happy around those back feet. Because with horses like that, if it's a young horse, you know, you can go in until you see a nervousness and step back and do that sort of principle. But sometimes that you have to come in and you have to get them through, like at clinics, I have to get a horse through an area, and just reading their body language is not quite enough to get a horse through a past bad experience. You have to actually put them in a feeling of that experience, but take them out feeling good, instead of just going right back to the start as if they're young and working on reading their body language and approach and retreat and stuff like that. So yeah, horses have had a really bad past, whether it be really bad education, it's really worried them or things like that. I've got to go in deep into somewhere where it got a little anxious, and I've got to say, now you feel like this, your memory's telling you this has got to happen, and this is gonna happen, and this is what you've got to do. Well, actually, don't do that. I'll show you something else. So I actually go in and sort of dig in deep, like a Thai massage, I suppose, and get a horse out of a troubled area. Whereas I wouldn't expect everyone else to do that with their horses. So it's kind of working from two ends of the spectrum. And with a horse that's had a really bad experience, sometimes you've got to go in and get that area where they're a little anxious, work on it, but shift the way they think about it, and then come out. And then basically they'll realise that there's an answer when they're worried, opposed to the original answer, which was, oh, I just got to get away because I'm going to get eaten. So yeah. Anyway, thanks for that question, Michelle. It can be hard working around, especially it's a bit scary working around the back feet too, because you feel a bit vulnerable. Help, help, Paddy. With ideas for helping my horse with separation anxiety, Buddy Sauer. He's fine leaving his friends, but doesn't feel good about them leaving him. It's an interesting one, that one. It's almost like, it's kind of the same. When you've chosen to leave your friends, you're okay about it. But when they kind of all chuff off, you're thinking, oh, they don't like me anymore. Do I smell? I see that with horses. It's because they can't control the situation, or feel that they can't control the situation, they kind of get a bit of a panic up. So going back to the sort of some of it, like the stuff that I just talked about with Viv and connection and things like that, you've got to go back and work through all that as well, and look at that and address that just in a normal environment, is how your horse feels about you. When it does leave the other horses, is it really sort of happy, or is it just kind of safe and okay? But it gets unsafe when the buddies leave it. So basically, you might have to address or do an experiment of going out and saying, okay, I'm going to leave the other horses. Now, when I'm riding around near the other horses, when I stop my horse and loose on the reins, when I'm riding around loose reined, how does he feel when I center the reins like that? Does he walk in a straight line? Is he always just gently pinging back? Now, a lot of people, they get a little surprised at a clinic, because they might have been doing what they thought they saw or whatever in a video or something like that. But then when I actually get them at a clinic and I say, now, sit on that horse and just let it go, they'll realise that even the horses that seem like they're quite obedient and soft and easy to move, drift. And when they let go, they go, oh, thanks. And they end up back over there. So what you've got to do in a calm environment is work on that horse learning to leave emotionally from the other horses when they're close by without you having to ride it somewhere. Because some of the sensitive, softer, you know, or lighter feeling horses, they tend to just kind of ride off fairly obediently. And then, but if you really gave them their head and took your guiding, you know, your reins and all that stuff that says, I want you to go this direction away, they might just gently slip back and go back to where they want to be. So I would work on that in the safe environment or when you're leaving your horses, the other horses, and until your horse can emotionally leave in that straight line and it's thinking in a new direction. There's a video coming out probably next month. I don't think we put on this month, but it's me. There's one already up there, me riding Marvel, and a few lessons where I actually go boing, boing, boing until the horse thinks off in a new direction. And then I start to do that out in the paddock a bit. But so what I want the horse to do is think forward in the direction that I'm thinking, and we're going together somewhere. So, but that's something I'd address and think about just in normal riding when you take your horse away. Can it really go away itself, or is it just me carrying it out there with my pressure? And then a lesson that I think is an awesome lesson for getting horses to, and you just might need someone to help you on this one. I find it a good, because you know, someone can ride your other horse or whatever, or someone can have your buddy, leading your buddy around. So I do this one at clinics when two horses have turned up together, is I get the horse that wants to follow the other horse, that kind of hooks onto it, and I get someone to take, oh, sorry, Viv. I get someone to, sorry about that, Viv, it's always a bit up and down here in Australia, good old Australia. So I get the horse, and I get the person with the horse that, I'm just getting confused myself. So I've got the horse, and then I've got the buddy sour horse, I think you call it buddy sour, maybe it was separation anxiety. So you're on your horse, who gets anxious when the other horses move. So what happens at a clinic is I'll first of all place the horse, which is the bait, that's the one that the horse that suffers a lot is there, baited in the middle of the arena. So I'll give you an example. At the last clinic, there was a horse that was really connected. It was a one-eyed horse who was really connected to his mate, and he could probably only go 5 meters away before he's like that. And so anyway, we just said, okay, just do it. Like, imagine that the white horse was the pollen, and he's the petal. Okay, so the pollen is the bit in the middle of the flower, or the pollen, or the center of the flower, whatever you call it. He's the center of the flower. And the other horse that was getting the separation anxiety was the petals. So he'd just ride out until he felt a little, he felt a little unstable and said, I'd like to start turning back now. So you'd just say, well, let's turn back and ride through the middle of the flower, through the pollen, past the pollen, which is the horse in the middle, through the middle of the flower, and I'm going to ride you back to your mate, and I'm going to take you out the other side. And then when you go out the other side, you kind of loosen, just let your horse travel. And after a few goes, you get to recognize where your horse starts to turn back on either side in each direction. And then just before when they say, oh, I'm going to turn back now, well, for really anxious horses, you just ride them out until they feel they got to turn back, and then just let them turn back and ride them back through the middle again, and just ride them straight through the middle and back out again. And what you're showing them, it's like a mini trail ride. You're showing them, I can take you out and you can come back. I can take you out and you can come back. So for the really anxious horses, I start with that particular lesson. It's a good one to start with. And then after a while, those petals become bigger and bigger and bigger, and that horse will go out. And then basically what happened at this particular clinic, this was the same clinic with the lady sat on the fence, that horse could ride out to the end of the arena and stop anywhere with this other little horse standing. But we couldn't move the other horse to start with, because as soon as we started to shift that other horse, he couldn't control the other horse, so he got anxious. But once he knew that horse was staying there, then he got more confident that, because every time you go out on that pedal and come back through the middle of the flower, you're teaching that horse, I'm going to take you back to where you feel safe. I'm going to take you back to where you feel safe. I'm going to go with you back. You're always going to end up back there. So he goes, oh, they're not taking me away forever. I'm going to go back there. So, oh, well, I'll just go back there and ride through until he gets more confidence. So he got more confidence to get right to the edges of the arena. But then the next thing I'd start to do, because that's all good and well, but as you start moving this horse around the arena, the one that was the original center, the pollen in the middle of the flower, then basically what's going to happen is he's going to go, geez, uh-oh, he's going and I can't control this now, so I'm going to get anxious again. So then you do the same lesson while the other horse is moving. You just say, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to catch you up. I'm going to go past you. And then what the other person does on the other horse, who is the center of the flower, they just go in a new direction. And then he goes, oh, crikey, I better go back. And you just ride him past and just keep following up. And he's got to, and what I encourage the people to do is walk their horse up a bit to catch up. Say, come on, let's catch up then, let's go. So when they're walking towards the horse that's the bait, they're going towards the bait, you know, and you're riding them. Because you're riding them and you're putting a bit of leg on and saying, catch up a little bit, they've got to think about you instead of them just going, get, you know, dragging along. And then you just ride up past that horse, and then this one just veers off, and then you say, quick, catch him again. And then after a while, you might just, when that horse is catching up fine, you just might, instead of veering away and going away with the other horse, just might stop it for a second, and then this horse goes off over here a long way. And it's just like you're just going back, you catch that one, and then they go this way, you catch them again, and you just ride them past them again. And then after a while, what starts to happen is, like I had a clinic in a big showground, and this particular horse was like, I'm going to get to that horse. And then I did that lesson, but it was only about five goes of catching the other horse up and then passing it, and then catching it up and passing it, that it just went, oh, I'm not interested in that anymore. It just went off in a new direction and just went across the whole showground. And obviously it doesn't always work that quickly, but it just sort of gets them thinking that they can catch them up and it's okay, they're going to follow them. And then after a while, they get a bit more confidence and they start to go further on their own. And you just do the set up little exercises like that, that the other horse is constantly moving around and they can still catch them and they can go. And after a while, they start to settle down, and then all of a sudden, it doesn't matter where that other horse is moving, they start to get more settled about it. So that's just a couple of good, you know, lessons to sort of look into. But first I'd look into, is your horse really connected? So, and that's you know, sometimes, as I say, people think my horse is okay in the arena, and then when I get it out, it blows up. But the horse is surviving in the arena at a fairly safe level, but it is actually still carrying a certain amount of anxiety. And that's what happens when we have the shutdown horses that, you know, they kind of seem okay in the arena, but then we get them out and they go, oh, no, Barbara, I got your questions next, Barbara. I'm on to yours. So I think I've just finished that one. Now, I'm just scrolling back down now. Where was I? Michelle, how have I tried to suggest to work with? We got the legs. I've lost my question now. So I've done the leg one. Oh, I know what I've done. I must have missed a question somewhere. Anyway, doesn't matter. So I'm back down to Michelle's question. I've tried what you suggested at work well spelling at the moment, so we'll continue this later. Part of your feedback was he was a little pushy. So this is Michelle's question. A little pushy, which I have trained him to do. Unfortunately, when I got him, he was very suspicious. So yeah, you probably allowed him in your space, and that's fine. So this is a little Arab horse that I did a little video review of, and so I noticed in the video that he was just a little pushy, and it's okay to have a horse come in when they're suspicious, like you did, and get them to sort of stand with you and connect with you. But what you've got to sort of work out is who's got stronger energy, okay? So some people have a certain amount of strong, you know, the when I watch two people walking, or no, sorry, a horse and a person walking, I'm watching how much energy and what the energies are kind of looking like. So sometimes you can see a horse is kind of always like a wave. It just gently pushes up into us when we stop, and it kind of, you can sort of feel that happen, and you see how I'm kind of rocking with it a little bit with my hand. That's the horse, and this is me, the person. So, you know, we're walking along and then we stop and this kind of happens a little bit. Now, that's just an uneven energy. So basically what's happened is, to get his suspiciousness away, you've probably worked on some connection, getting him to come in, soften with you, stand with you, breathe on you, all that sort of stuff, which is really good and healthy to do. But as he's got sort of worried and stuff, maybe being... Now that pushiness gets quenched... Well, you can stop that pushiness through being more centered and being a stronger tree. You don't have to always push him back, but if you think sometimes you have to, you might have to say, hey, just let's balance it out a bit. So sometimes if he's still anxious and things like that, what's going to happen, he's going to come in and kind of push on you a little bit. And if that always happens, it always will. But all you've got to do is, when you walk somewhere, practice this. Walk really centered. So you own your spot. That's your spot. And you own the ground that you're taking. That's your choice. You don't own it. You're allowed to walk somewhere. Okay? It's your right to walk somewhere. If your horse cuts you off, well, they've cut you off. So what I do, a lot of people when they're working with a horse, they're thinking about their horse all the time. Okay? Now, you won't bother him and you won't scare him by pushing you out of your space if you do it in a way that makes him realise that it's a set boundary, he's moving off, not you just chase him away because he's being disrespectful kind of thing. And I think you understand that. So when you're walking very clearly here. And I'm only taking the ground in front of me. I'm not walking over there over the horizon. Every step I'm taking is a step to a new little piece of ground that I'm walking along. I'm not thinking that far ahead, as some people think too far ahead. And I'm going to that bit of ground, and that's where I'm going. If I stand on that bit of ground, then I'm going to stay there and I can't be budged. When you walk, think like that. And sometimes I tell people to walk at a super, super slow speed, but very thoughtfully about just walking at gaining ground of where they are, and just being in that spot. I'm in that spot now, and I'm walking to that spot there, and I'm walking to that spot there, and I'm not moving. That's that piece of ground there that I've just stepped on. It's where I'm staying until my next foot comes through and I walk to the next spot. And you walk like that around your horses, and you might start to back up exactly like that. If they kind of crowd you a little bit and bump, you just keep backing very thoughtfully, and they'll go, oh, they're really not thinking about me. They're just, you know, believing in themselves, just like another horse believes in its decisions sometimes. So when you're thoughtful like that, you'll find the horses actually will stop pushing on you because you're not kind of managing them all the time. We tend to sort of get sucked into all our horses' stuff all the time, and we kind of get sucked into their business and managing them, and, you know, you're pushing, I better step you back, or you're doing this, I better do this, and we're constantly kind of managing ourselves because of what they've done, and we actually, most times I see people at clinics and they forgot about themselves and the right to make their own decisions and do their own things, just like another confident horse would make its own decisions. So think about more your decisions and how you're, where you're walking, you're grounded there. And the horse feels that, and they start to go, oh, God, thank God for that. Huh, you actually feel like you're a confident horse now that I could follow anywhere, because you're making clear decisions and you believe in your decisions, because they need you to believe in your decisions, especially when you're going into some scary places. And when we're managing them and monitoring them all the time, we're not actually giving them the confidence that they need for, you know. So I've gone a bit off track here, but that suspiciousness that he's got, he won't get frightened of you if you make clear decisions, but he won't be pushy on you, because he'll know that you're not swaying. You're not a, like a piece of grass in the breeze. You're like a big trunk of a tree that is strong, and then he won't push on you so much. So now sometimes if you're walking along and you feel that he's still pushing on your space and things like that, then basically have a boundary that you kind of know is your comfortable boundary, which, you know, it's your choice. I don't want to tell you exactly what mine is because it mightn't be yours. But when he starts to feel like his energy's pushing up on you and you can feel it, because you can feel him, like it's like a person that crowds you and stands in front of you like, oh, geez, you're a bit pushy. You can feel that. So basically when he comes in, you know, and you feel that push, you just bang your leg or something like that, or, you know, do something that just makes him bounce back. And I think you've already done that by the sounds of it with a flag. So I'll just go more into your question now that I've sort of got that. I'm firm on him if he pushes. So you're not really, you don't have to be firm on him. You just have to say, hey, did you see me? So don't think about it as I'm firm on him when he pushes. So when he comes and crowds you, just firm up in a way that makes him see you more clearly, but still be soft and calm in your attention. You know, you're firm in the sense that I can't be moved, but you're soft in your feeling towards him and your personality and things like that. So you're still his friend. You just said, hey, did you see me? I'm here. And how you do that, might do with a flag or anything like that. Or, you know, bang on the leg. I want to teach him how to communicate without coming too close. Today I jumped up and down and a bit and he moved back. Then I went to him rather than him coming to me. The next time I moved my arms like a bird tapping the sides of my legs. Yeah, and he backed off, then more supple moves once understood. Was that too understood? That was too close. I'm conscious of not wanting to confuse him now that he finds me predictable and trustworthy. Hope this makes sense. Yeah, I think as long as you're just not pushing your boundaries into him and chasing him off for being pushy and things like that, like a nasty kind of cranky horse, he'll trust you. It's when he kind of comes in and says, hey, I'd like this. You say, no, not now. And then you say, come in softly and it's like a soft handshake. Basically, try and get an agreement where you guys come in and you both shake his other hand with the same soft intention, not one person grabbing your hand quickly. And that's what you look at. When your horse comes in soft, as a soft request, they're going to come in soft and they're going to be asking you, can I or can't I? And that's when you know things are working. They just don't assume, oh, I come in, I'll get a scratch. If it's an assumption, back it off. Like just say, change that thought. Back off was the wrong word. You're not backing them away and saying, get away. You're just saying, change that thought. So what you did was probably fine. Bang your leg, wave your arms, whatever. Just say, hey, bang a rope on your leg. And the horse goes, whoop. And then you say, now what were you asking me? And they'll come in and they'll ask, or if they've sort of just stopped and say, well, I'll just reset. I don't really need a scratch off because I just thought I'd get one. Then you might go in, hey, soften. You come into them softly and say, I'll give you a scratch, okay, and if that's what you'd like. But it's got to be, they've got to either ask or I would say allow you to come in and scratch them or do something like that. But you won't ruin his, he won't get too suspicious of you if you're very clear, if you're offering him clarity with it and you're just showing him when he's just being a little too pushy. He won't get frightened of you if you don't come at him and start, you know, running him around like some bossy horse. Cool. I'll get on to the next one now. I've realised a couple more questions than I thought. I must have had a... I don't know how I got onto that next question. Oh, I missed a question. Yep. Tony. Hi, Mark. I had the black pony Harley. Yes, I remember Harley at your place. From the Mars Clinic. Now, Tony, I hope if you're onto this, if you're not onto this and you come on later, the lesson, the question that I answered of the horse with the feet problems. So that's something I would think about with him also, but I'm going to do it a little bit differently for Harley. So I'm pretty sure Harley was the one that got tangled up in an electric fence. I think you said. I've got the right horse on this one, and that's why he's kind of a very suspicious horse around the back end, as I remember him. And yeah, anything that kind of looks like ropes or long bits like that would around his back end frightens him. So I spent a huge amount of time working with him, and he's better with everything we worked on. Plus, can now long rein him. That's awesome. You can long rein him because it's a big thing getting behind him with those reins. But as soon as the rein comes over his back, everything changes, and I have that butt grabbing worried pony back. It doesn't last long, and I can get him back to quite relaxed once he's back between the long reins. However, I still haven't felt comfortable to get on him with this still happening. I don't know what else to do to get past this. Do you have any ideas? So basically, while everything's going good, then all of a sudden that bit around his rope gets a little bit scary. And so if there's a transition in anything in training, you know, I look at everything as transactions and transitions. We're having a constant transaction with our horse. So what I would do is so the long reining's working, but the rope getting in a different position around his back end makes him spook. So basically that's the transition that you need to work on. So long reining him's getting him confident with kind of the ropes hanging down the side and you working from behind him, and that's what he was quite scared of. He'd pop the hip out and want to face everyone all the time. So the fact that you can work him from back there, I think, is awesome. So you've come a long way in his confidence with having someone back there, all that sort of stuff. Now he's just got to get, righto, the ropes or anything that seems like an electric fence or anything's not going to, you know, it's not the same as what he thinks. So that's where you've got to get into that area that he's frightened, showing that he doesn't have to be, and then get out, okay? So in that respect, now that he can travel by you and you can work from the hip and things like that, I would make a little breech and rope on him. So you just get a long, soft rope, put a loop in one end of it, and you just gently start to rub it over his back. So what you could do first to get him a little bit used to it is have a long stick and rub him over the hip. So you just get him walking beside you, off to the side, and even just circling softly around you, rub him over the hip, over the back of the hocks, things like that, with a, you know, flag, stick, things like that. And basically work in that area as per the lesson that I explained with the horse that had a bad experience with its feet prior in this question and answer. So I would work on that, and then what I would do is I'd probably make a little britching rope. So you know how people say they float their horses by putting a britching rope around their rump. This is just to get him used to a constant britching pressure. But the good thing about it, if you do it right, you can quickly flip it off him if he gets too much of a panic. But I have a feeling, because he's known how to regulate now a bit more, he'll actually kind of do his little clench up in the back end, and then he might just kind of go, oh, I'm okay, I might just relax again. So I would just go straight to putting that britching rope just over his back end. So it's just going to hang over his back, and the loop will go around, just around above his hocks, and then just come back to you. Sometimes once I've had a little go of it, no, I won't worry about telling you that. So basically all I'll get you to do is just put that britching rope on him and just let it hang there, and just get him to lead by while there's just a little rope just gently touching him there. And then once he's kind of coping with walking with it, you just gently pull up a bit of britching pressure, just a little bit so he can feel it, just get a little bit of pressure. And then he'll kind of skedaddle a little bit when he softens, loosen up on that pressure a little bit. And then and just keep repeating that one, go into that transition of a bit of breaching pressure. Oh, it's not going to kill you. Oh, good, that's it. And just keep working on that until he gets a little better. Then what I'd start to do is I'd start to just teach him to back up and then just pull up a little breaching pressure as he's backing up, so he can feel him push up into that breaching pressure and go, oh, it's not going to kill me. And then you can just let him step forward and come forward and backwards, and just have him working in hand softly, constantly setting him up to, you know, feel the breaching pressure all the time, so he gets used to that rope around his back end, and then And then the other thing you can do, the problem with this one though, when they're a little bit nervous in the breaching pressure, is you know how you kind of put a rope on the other side of the horse, come back around their rump, and then you kind of pull on it and get them to look and turn and do a turn like that, and they turn all the way around and face you again. Problem with that one is some of those horses are still a bit skedaddly in the breaching pressure. They'll just kind of quickly spin around and face up, and then you've kind of taught them to just, you know, escape that pressure. So that's why I'd probably tend to just use a breeching kind of rope where I've just put it around their back end and got them used to that sort of thing. And just go in, don't worry, you know, just find those areas and just come in there, put a little feel on him. When he gets a little anxious, it's okay. Work him through it till he gets a little soft, and then take the pressure away and just keep repeating it until he gets a lot more softer. And he, you're just going to that transition where he tucks his butt up like that and does his thing, and then you get him to loosen, and then he does it until eventually you put the pressure on and off, and he's just like, oh, you know, I don't do my little clench up thing. And the fact that you've sort of improved all these other areas, I think, well, you're on the track. You're on the right track with him. So you've just got to go to that particular transition and just work on it more, instead of kind of avoiding that little bit where the ropes get round him. So yeah, I'm glad you're doing good though. I'm glad you're committed to him, because it's nice to see these horses that have had bad experiences and people commit to kind of fixing those things. So Barbara, your floating question. Hi Mark, I've been practicing float loading with my boy Henry. We've got a horse called Henry here, whom I'm bringing to your clinic next week. Cross our fingers that everything stays good so we can run the clinic next week. I think we can. When he gets to the top of the ramp, he'll go to look out to his right. This is a very common thing, this too, by the way, that when they sort of get to a point and then they kind of gaze out to where they want to be, where his paddock and mate is. But when he does it, he tries to rip the rope out of my hands, so it always seems like I'm yanking on his face as I'm trying to get him to look back into the float. Yeah, it's what it will feel like. I hate the yanking on his face, but he does it so forcefully. By the time I lift the rope to bring his head back, it's too late. Does he need to go back a step and try to relax there? Or do I have another answer? Yeah, so many things in float loading, it's very hard. So if you've watched some of the float loading fern, you might look at, okay, where does he get really nervous, maybe at the float, maybe work there first. So I would step him on and off the ramp 50,000 times till I get a real soft step and connected step, even stepping on the ramp. And sometimes the horse goes up the ramp further, and the steps that they took to get there were kind of nervous and a little bit braced. So when they get up the top, there's more of a disconnection there. So that's obviously a problem. But you could you know, just assess all that. But basically the question that you asked about him looking over there, you know, they get to a point and they say, but he's actually doing it in a strong way because he's snatching. There's two ways you can do it. Now, I would try two ways myself, but to offer them to you, maybe, I don't know, until I've met you and your horse in this circumstance. So one way was, I would actually probably have the flag beside me, and I would bang the flag on my leg and make him think back towards the horse float, and I would spend not more time getting him to commit his thoughts to the float and stand at the ramp until he can stand there thinking towards the float. Okay, yeah, I see that. When you take him forward and backwards a lot, he starts pouring. So instead of doing so much forward and backwards, Barbara, maybe just getting him to stand and keep his thoughts at the float. Work on that first and just stand there and wait. And if he starts to look away or think away, you know, so there's two ways you can do it. You can distract him, like a bang, like a flag, a bang of the leg, whatever. Get his thoughts back towards you and the horse float. So he gets distracted again, gets his thoughts back to the float, till eventually he just knows that I've got to think towards the float. Then he might get interested in it. Then he might just load up. You know, some horses will just go, oh, okay, that's where my thoughts are, that's where my feet will go. So work more on getting him to think towards the horse float and keep his thoughts there before you get to that sort of spot where he's really snatching. And just work, can he stand there for a whole minute or 2 minutes without, you know, just tapping out? Experiment with that, work on that. And then basically once he's doing that, then you can work him up a little bit further. So the other thing with the head snatching, it's something like, if you teach him where to have his thoughts, then the head snatching will go away because he'll know, don't think over there, think here. And then he'll get more interested in the float and more confidence in the float because his mind's on it, so he can start to understand it more. But while he's sort of bypassing and he's over there, he's not, you know, they'll always go in a horse float a bit worried because they're not thinking about what they're going into. And then when they go in there, they'll be more frightened. So what I would do is I would probably tend to use a bit of a bump on the lead when he does that head thing, because he's found his own pressure when he does that. So I don't teach people to bump the lead to chastise their horses as such, but I will say that's not working, because he's got to know snatching the lead's not something that you do, because snatching the lead's kind of like snatching the reins and things like that. So while you've got a halter on him, a bump's not going to hurt him at all. It's just going to be more of a shock for him to go, boom, oh, what was that? Okay. So you've just got to be quick enough. So when he snatches, you just go bump. And then what you practice is pick up a feel and get him to think back to the feel. And if he snatches, you just bump like that and then think back to the feel. And he snatches, bump, and then you'll go, oh. So instead of trying to haul on his head and try and, you know, stay there and end up in an arm wrestle with him, you just put a bump in there, because the bump's like a bit of a boop, and he goes, oh, boop, whoop, that didn't work. Okay, and it might have to be, you know, I don't know how firm it's going to have to be because you're the one holding the rope. But it's basically to sort of, you know, curve that thought from going over there. But the idea is where people have used bumps and gone really wrong with their horses. I'm very careful, and for years I never let people bump on their horses, because I just saw so many horses that were over bumped, bump, bump, bump all the time. It was like every time a person would pick up a rope in the lead rope, I'd see these horses brace up and go, they're going to bump me. And it's like, well, no, you've got to, you know, it's only there to offer the horse clarity and teach it to find that softness. So what I would start to do, that's why I'd start to pick up a feel on him, and when he thinks in the wrong direction, I'd just put the bump on him to say, not there, that's not working, because by the sounds of it, he's already learnt to grab and pull and reef. So if he finds his own pressure and it's a bump, well, that's kind of him that done it. But if he's already hauling and reefing, then constant pressure's probably, you know, been done and not going to work. So then I'd get him to feel. I'd use my rein. I'd get him to feel across a little, and when he thinks across, I'd just loosen and say, "There it is. Just think this way." Okay. If he doesn't, goes the opposite way and snatches, I just bump, and then I'd loosen, and then I'd say, "Now think this way." So after a while. Because what I mean is, sometimes when people get their bump wrong and they use it as chastising horses or things like that, they pick up the rein and the horse braces. Well, I want them to soften and think. So I'll actually complete it. I'll pick up that rope and say, come across over here. And then when he thinks across, I'll soften. The bump's only there to get him back to the question, not to get him in trouble as such. So yeah, instead of the constant load, just let him find his own bump, that he goes bump, whoop, oh, that didn't work. And after a while, there's two angles to come at it there. You know, you got one that can say, well, how about I just teach you to keep your thoughts here by distracting them by visual, but I still think he might need a bit with the feel, because he's still got to understand that he can't snatch the rein, and it's important that, you know, that he doesn't do that either, and then just work on that. And then when you know he's centered and he softens with that, and he can look across with that feel and he knows not to snatch, then you can work on, hey, now let's try and load again and work on the backwards and forwards. But don't work on the backwards and forwards until his mind's a bit more in the more centered. So get him centered, then get him leading up and down that ramp again and thinking, instead of trying to use the walking up and down the ramp to get him centered. So thanks for that question, Barbara. I hope you're okay. Because you've got to get into the clinic and you're having troubles, Barbara, just you know, if you get to, you know, tomorrow or the next day and you're struggling, just send a message and I'll call you and see if I can sort of help you a bit more. But anyway, good luck with it all. And thanks, everybody, for coming on board today. And, I'll talk to you in another fortnight. So we've got a little clinic coming up, and then we're going away with the kids for a little bit for a break. But yeah, thanks everybody, and I'll see you next time.